Those are some good songs. Some good songs, some celebratory songs, and I think celebration's in order. I mean, you know, we can say it, and, you know, we can talk about a sacrifice of praise and different things, but I think there's things we have reason to celebrate around here. I was thinking today, now you guys can turn to Psalm 133. It's a very short psalm. I don't know if that's going to be any consolation to you guys, but it is a short psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, one of the reasons why, I don't know about you guys, but for myself, that I have been rejoicing, and to me, it's just to go over to the camp kitchen and have dinner, just so you know, to me is something I rejoice in, because I listen, and the banter, it's walking into like a homecoming with people who are glad to be there together. That's how it's supposed to be, folks. That's how it's supposed to be. That's why David says here, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that latter part, unity there, is the key, right? I mean, I think last Saturday or last Wednesday, we were just talking about the preamble to our articles of faith, you know, that we all speak the same thing, have the same mind, same judgment, all of that stuff. And see, what comes of that is when we do that, we are united. We're united in purpose. Doesn't matter which way the Lord points us. He can point us in any direction, and we will go in accordance with his will. You know what that's like? You guys remember, many of you remember, Davey used to talk about it. You know, it talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God, is I think how it goes, doesn't it? They shall see God. The poor in spirit, Brother Davey used to always preach it from the standpoint of horses. Because with horses, you have what are known as spirited horses, and you have what are known as a horse that's poor in spirit. The spirited horse, it's called spirited because it doesn't do what you want it to do. Doesn't do what you want it to do. The horse, by contrast, that's poor in spirit is that horse that with the slightest gesture from its master is doing exactly what he wants it to do. And it's that horse that you take into battle. Why? Because in that horse, you can get a hold of it. You can have your shield in one hand. You can have your sword in the other hand, like they used to fight. And you can just, as your body moves through, without even having to control the reins, that horse follows your guidance as you weave your way through that battlefield. And I don't know about you, but when I look at some of those old battlefields and those ways those guys used to fight, there was a lot of weaving going on. I mean, there was just a mass of people, and it was a mess. And yet the one whose horse was poor in spirit, and that's why a soldier who was a mounted soldier, a cavalry, when they had one that was a horse that was good, man, they took care of that horse. It's amazing. You know, in the World War I, for example, where they still had cavalry, am I saying that right? I am saying it right. Cavalry. Huh? No! He's saying it wrong. Don't listen to Charlie. He's saying it as Calvary. No! That's how he always want to say it and screw it up. It's cavalry. It's cavalry. So don't listen to Charlie. It's a good thing you weren't mic'd, Charlie, but I could still call you out. Nanny, nanny, nan, nan. But they would have lots of vets in the army unit. Why? To see to it that those horses were taken care of. and taken care of well because they were so critical. See, and when we as a body become like that horse poor in spirit, now the Lord can use us mightily. The slightest gesture, just the slightest gesture from him, and we're moving in accordance with his will. How does that happen? How does it happen that with the slightest gesture, you're moving in accordance with the Lord's will? Well, first of all, it takes a determination on your part that that's what you want. You want to do his will. You have given up your will, right? When you've given up your will, now you can submit yourself unto and be attentive unto another. The other thing is the more you, as you come into agreement with his word, Jesus is the word of God, right? So when you come into agreement with his word, now what happens is you're going to recognize in the different situations you are in what his word would have you do. You're going to recognize it. And then as you begin to be used of the Lord, you gain something called experience. You know where you gain your experience first? Anybody know where you first gain your experience? It's really not a high and lofty place. It's a very low and humble place. You gain your experience by serving somebody else. That's how you gain it. When you can serve somebody else, you can give up your will to another person and do whatever it is that they say. And you have, the Bible gives us plenty of places to practice, right? We know in a fellowship, discipleship is one of the primary means by which that happens. Okay? You have somebody who is more expert than you, more experienced than you, more knowledgeable than you, who trains you, helps teach you how to do it because they already know how. So they can teach you. When you can learn to submit yourself unto that person as unto the Lord, you're going to get everything that that teacher has. Because what's it say? The disciple's not greater than his master, but he can be equal to his master. And you know, it's a beautiful thing in the Lord is that, see, the Lord, if you are under somebody and you learn everything you got from them and the Lord still has more for you, he's not going to limit you to what that person had. And if that person knows the Lord and has given you what they know, they're not going to want to limit you either. They're not. They're going to want you to get everything you can get. That's why, I mean, for years, I remember people would come out to take Scott and Melanie or Chris Moynihan or many people. People lived with me or stayed over at our house or worked with me and did different things. And they would want to come out here and disciple under Davey. To me, that was like awesome. You know, I mean, I had done a good job if they now wanted to come and learn and disciple under Davey. To me, that meant they had kind of graduated, if you will, in part from that which I had. I was excited for the person. I mean, Megan knows this. She was my wife through much of this. She knows what my attitude was towards it. I was excited for people because I thought, man, shoot, that's who I want to disciple under too. So praise God. Go on out. And I share that with you because, look, when you start trying to slow people down or hold people back, that isn't going to work. That isn't going to work. Lord's not going to let that happen. I've experienced it, and the Lord has brought me out from that. And I tell you what, he knows how to do it. It was not easy, but he knows how to do it, and he'll bless you through the whole thing if you will determine to serve. So that serving another person is the manner in which you learn how to become poor in spirit so that you are fit for the master's use. And if you notice, like, it was funny, I was talking with Phil today because he was saying we had our little after meeting kind of discipleship meeting on Sunday, and I was talking in that about how I listen to people's prayers and I think, wow, they leave way too much room for error in those prayers. It's all these things about themselves, all these things, you know, that I can choose wisely and that I can do this and that I can do that. And, you know, and I'm thinking as I'm listening to that prayer, I'm thinking, oh, my God, these people have a heck of a lot more confidence in themselves than I do in myself. I don't pray, Lord, that I can, because I know I will not. I will likely screw up just about anything. So my prayers are, Lord, you accomplish your will through me. You know, I'll submit myself unto you, take the reins of my heart, and you drive me to the accomplishment of thy will. Lord. Lord, you, I pray, Lord, that you move through me to minister unto the needs of that individual. Because if it comes down to me having to make a bunch of right judgments in the midst, I mean, I suppose if there's only two choices, at least 50% of the time I'll be right. You know, you might be the lucky ones. But I don't know about you, but 50% doesn't seem very good if you're in need of what the Lord has for you, is it? It seems pretty bad to me. Might be a superstar in baseball, but in the Lord, counts for nothing. Counts for nothing. So my prayers are always about putting my trust in what the Lord can do through me. And I found he can do extraordinary things that I would have never imagined he could do. Now, I want to turn to Hebrews 12 for a moment. That brethren dwell together in unity, we were just talking about in Psalm 133. And it is indeed a beautiful thing. You see the type of Philadelphia love, which is the type of brotherly love that God's people are to have with, for one another. That's what you see. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to be a part of. Nothing personally gives me more pleasure than that. But I wanted to, but we'll start with verse 1 of Hebrews 12. And Hebrews 11, for those who aren't as familiar as many of us, Hebrews 11 is a great chapter. Just think of it as the faith chapter. It's the chapter of all the great things that people have done by faith. And it also highlights the fact that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So all of a sudden you realize that faith becomes pretty important. And we were talking last Sunday about how that faith, when you receive his word, you receive the faith with it to then go and do that word. So with that as a background, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I wanted to hit on this briefly because it's a lot of what we've been talking about, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11 is talking about men, single individuals, who subdued entire kingdoms. Think of that for a moment. One person against a kingdom, the most powerful kingdom in the world, like Moses against Egypt, right? One man subdued, not only subdued, spoiled them. Spoiled them such that they actually gave up voluntarily gold and silver and precious things and sent the children of Israel out, not for just one person, but for 600,000 adult men, their women, their children, and the mixed multitude that went out with them, everything they had need of for their journey. Think of that. One man. We look at this country, we look at other countries, we look at these different things, and we think they're too big for us. Absolutely not. That is a lie right out of the pits of hell. A complete and total lie. Absolutely. I remember Davey one time telling a big black guy who he had delivered to his mother, I think, or his grandmother, out of prison. And the guy was a tough guy. Davey was a little guy, and the guy was a lot bigger. And the guy was going to run off, and Davey said, "Where do you think you're going?" He said, "I'm going out, honky." He said, I think his name was Leroy. He said, "Leroy, before you go out," he said, "just touch my little finger, my pinky." He said, because I got more power in this, in my little pinky, than a 100-megaton nuclear bomb. He said, I dare you. Just touch me. And what happened? The man came over and he touched him. And the Spirit of God hit him and threw him across the room up against a wall, shook the house. And by the time he reached the bottom, he was a Christian and pleased to go to the fish house that night. We limit God. Remember, everything in the Scripture, you go back and you look in the Gospels, people are getting healed by whose faith? Their faith. Jesus, almost every single time, what's the answer? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Woman with the issue of blood, what's she saying? If, and she's saying within myself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. What's she do? She presses through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment, instantaneously, she is healed. Plenty of other people, I'm sure, who were plagued and had different things, might have even been there right around him at that time, didn't get healed. She did. Because what? Her faith. She believed that that would be the case. We need to lift mightily. We need to lift up our faith in what God can do. Absolutely. And the Lord's been working with each of us here. That's part of the reason why the joy and things like that we've been experiencing is here among us, is because people who've been struggling with things for a long time have a renewed hope, and they're seeing things change. And that's a blessing. Not always the easiest way to get there, and you'll see a little bit about that as we go down. But those witnesses we have back there in Hebrews 11 of Noah building an ark, Moses taking down Egypt, Elijah, Elisha, all the different things that were done, those examples are there for us to believe and do likewise. That's what it's for. It's an extraordinary thing. And I want you to stand in that. So that's what we should be looking at to do. What that great cloud of witnesses tells us. Now the weights, let us lay aside every weight. So is there any weight you're supposed to be carrying? Any? What did Jesus say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But how come this is so heavy then? It feels like I'm dragging this big stone around with me and stuff like that. Because you're doing something you ought not to. I think if we were Mater, it'd be, what did I say, Mater? And he'd say, to not to. Remember, in cars? My children remember that. Remember, to not to. So you're carrying a weight. What are you supposed to do? To not to. You think you can remember that? So you start feeling weighed down. You start feeling burdened. You hear somebody say, oh, I've got this burden for such and such. Well, that's stupid. What do you mean? Well, it is. Lord said you're not to say the burden of the Lord. Right? Not to say that. Oh, but you don't know how hard it is. I got this, that, and the other thing to do. I thought it was, we cast all our cares on him, for he careth for us. I thought, yeah, there's all these promises, right? All these promises. So when we're looking at it going, I don't know. I mean, how am I going to do that? Stuff like that. You're carrying something you're not supposed to. Just remember, Mater, to not to. For those who are too old to watch cartoons and animated movies, tough. Go watch it. It's a good movie, whether it's animated or not. I don't care. Cars is a good movie. And you'll learn about Mater, and you'll know to not to. All right. So that was so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. See, everything we consider a weight is really an opportunity in Christ. It's funny, we were talking, Robin, Charlie, well, I don't think Charlie was there. He might have been there. Phil and I with Lisa and Brad this week and the last week, and there was something going on that was tough, and I seem to be want to do, had to say a few things that were upsetting. I think we were joking in the kitchen earlier about Crying with Steve being a movie. Steve's just an ordinary guy until you go into his office and then you come out crying. Ah! on. They give high fives to one another when they come out with clear eyes. Do you want to come? Come on over. Hey, come to my office. So we're, we're in there talking. And the thing was, is the stuff that came down was, look, yeah, these things, I understand they're going to be a pain in the butt. I understand they're frustrating. I understand you don't want to do them. You know what they are? Your job. Your job is to love your children. Your job is to do this. And the fact that you don't want to is because you love yourself more than you love them. That's always a wonderful news flash to receive. Sometimes the tears start flowing when I say things like that. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? They received it, they did it, and they and their children are blessed. Hallelujah. A problem that was beginning to manifest and looked like it was going to get bad was cut off right at the pass. No problems whatsoever. Their son sees clearly, nothing, no issue. Praise God. That's how it works. So lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, the reason why I like that word, so doth so easily beset us, is because that's exactly what it does. I mean, it's not hard at all. It's effortless. It takes no effort at all to be beset by sin. Nothing. Really. I mean, that's just, or I woke up, I'm a person, and what happened? Sin easily beset me. All right? Why do you think Jesus died for us? Right? And he's not saying in that. He's saying, lay it aside. How was the word he said? He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, we get too hung up about this stuff. It does beset us. So what? God is greater than your sin. It's that simple. But because of your sin and because of how easy it is to beset you, stop putting it on yourself to be so smart and do all of these things. That's all about trying to vaunt yourself and exalt yourself. Just let him be God and you be doofus. It really doesn't matter. And he used an ass. And the ass was pretty effective minister, as I recall. When I was watching that Luther movie, Martin Luther said, God used an ass. And then he looked at himself as the professor and he was like, maybe he is again. Don't take yourself so seriously. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he can do. So he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, you can't always win right now. Sometimes you win 5 minutes from now. Sometimes you win a day from now. Sometimes you win a week from now. Sometimes you win a month from now. But I want it right now. Tough. Run with patience. Some battles take longer than others. Some things take longer than others. Oh, well. I get that. I'm just like you. I like to win right now. I don't like to win tomorrow. I'm not interested in that. If I could win every battle right now, I'd be so pleased. But, you know, I'm a lawyer. You get into these litigation things and you file a motion, then you wait 60 days. And then there's like, oh, there's going to be a hearing. Whew. Praise God. I remember, what was that motion about? Then you go over to the hearing and they go, oh, well, we're going to need some more time. Can you come back in another 90 days? 3 years later, you're still in the battle. And I mean, it can be frustrating if you want to win today. I just got to tell you, it can be really frustrating if you want to win today. But you know what? You got to be vigilant if you're going to win. And that's part of patience. You keep going forward no matter what. You don't let anything stop you. I don't care what it is. You don't let anything stop you ever. Think of it as the Energizer battery, but you got solar panels in the desert hooked up to you. So they're constantly charging and you just keep going and going and going and going. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. I don't care what happens. Don't ever give up. Don't. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm just going to say this about that. I'm just going to say, looking unto Jesus. Need I say more? I mean, really? Need I say more? Looking unto who? Me. No, stupid, dummy. Stop that. Looking unto Steve. No, what kind of an idiot are you? Do you not know Steve? Not yet. Looking unto Jesus. That is who you look unto in every single thing. You're wondering what to do? Open up this word. What's the word? Jesus in written form. He is the word of God, right? Look to him. Don't look anywhere else. Look to him. And you won't be disappointed. But he had to pass through some hard things. And he's not saying you may not have to pass through some hard things. But if you look to him, he'll see you through every one of those hard things. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This goes back to not giving up again. Remember, you don't want to grow weary and faint in your minds. Are you going to grow weary and faint in your minds? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Am I going to feel sorry for you? Well, at a certain level, I'll feel sorry for you because I've been there and know what it's like and stuff like that. But I'm not going to justify you in it. I'm not going to accept it because you're the one who needs to not accept it. And if I join with you and accept it, you've just lost. You have just lost. You have lost. I don't want you to lose. So I'm the nice person who says things to you like, I don't agree with that. Right, Rob? I don't accept that. She was in my office. I think she wanted to stomp through the floor, man. She could stomp through the floor. She wasn't crying, though. Maybe she cried a little bit. Did you cry? Probably. Gosh. I was hoping to have gotten out of there without a cry that time, but I got lots of stomping and lots of other things, but you know what I wouldn't do no matter what she did? Is I wouldn't agree with her. Right? I wouldn't agree with her. Wouldn't agree with her. Did I understand? At some level, some of it. She's Robin. Who knows the heart of Robin? Right? So, but the fact of the matter is, praise God. I knew I couldn't agree with her on that stuff. And it's been a blessing, hasn't it? Hallelujah. So, ye have not resisted yet. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Well, that's 100% of us. We give up way before then. All of us give up way before then. You know what? He said that because he didn't say we had to do it. Isn't that nice of him? He did it, but he didn't say we have to do it. Praise God for that. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm already tired and hangry with all and frustrated with the amount I've had to resist. Resist unto blood? Are you kidding me? I don't think there'd be any way I'd be saved. So praise God, he did that for me. All right. And ye have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Yeah, where did that come from? Does that relate to anything else we've been talking about? Well, first of all, if we're not doing those first things, laying aside every, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How well do we do on that? Do we do well on that? Do we just know it's just a sweet, peaceful, easy feeling and we just accomplish that? Is that how that usually works, Bob? Cheryl, is that how it usually works? Every time. No wonder people, if it was that way, people wouldn't come into my office and cry. It's the truth. People wouldn't come into my office and cry. People come into my office and cry because then I say things to them that sometimes seem like rebuking, true, chastening, definitely. Often when I do that, you know what they seem to want to do? Is faint. But thankfully, I don't have a padded cell in there, so they got to stand up. But this is the part, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. On Sunday night, I was talking about how people have heard me talk a lot about, like, when I came to the Lord in the Vermont ministry and how it was kind of a tough time and how there was really only one person who, the only reason why I was saved was because of one person's faith, and that was Brother Davies, who's passed here recently. And it was not a time and a place where the people were operating in great faith. It was kind of at a low ebb, and it was hard. It was hard to stay the course and go for it. And I brought this up, and I know when I brought it up and I've said things that it's not a pleasing testimony to people to hear this truth. And I get that, and I don't bring it up to hurt people, but what the Lord really, I think, showed me on Sunday night was that scourgeth, you know, he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, let me show you something about this. I was thinking about this earlier today. Davey used to talk about something all the time about love, which is doing that which is necessary for the person before you. Right? He used to talk about it all the time. He used to talk about the dogs. You had the dog who, you know, you could, all you had to do was say no, and they'd be, ah, and they would do what you say. And then you had the dog that you had to roll up a newspaper, and you would take it, and you'd point it at them, they'd go, ah, and they'd come in to be, then you had to take some of them, and you'd hit them in the nose with that newspaper. And then you had the dog that you had to hit him over the head with a 2x4. And you hit him over the head with a 2x4, and they would come up, and they were wondering why you did that to them. So you would hit him over the head with a 2x4 a second time. And then, you know what? The dog kind of wised up. I think you're trying to talk to me. And you're like, you're correct. I am trying to talk to you. Now we can reason together. And the dog became a good dog. Well, the fact of the matter is, Johnny's in there laughing. The fact of the matter is that, see, what scourgeth is about, really, is what it shows is that the Lord loves you enough to do what is necessary for you to get all that he has for you. Do you ever think of it from that standpoint? That it's actually truly an act of love that you can get all that he has for you? And I was thinking of that because I get it. It's not, I mean, there's a part of me that I want to know. I mean, people probably find this strange and odd, but unlike Johnny, I don't wake up every morning thinking, how can I offend? So we have Johnny here, so we know what that looks like. But me, honestly, that's not my nature. I do know that the Lord is here, and he's moving in an extraordinary way, and he's bringing us together. And those things that we have had a hope for and a desire to see, some for over 40 years, some like me for over 20 years, is coming to pass. And I don't want to see a single person lacking for anything in that. You know, we've made it this far, however long that's been and however screwed up we've been in different things. But we're going to make it the whole way. We're going to make it the whole way. I want everybody to make it the whole way. And I wanted to finish with this. And it says, you know, well, we go, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now remember, think to that when you say that of John chapter 1, verse 12, and to as many as believed on him, gave he them power to become the sons of God. When your object is to become a son of God, and that's what you want, then you're going to be glad for the chastening. It's just like any, you look at any person who, you take great tennis players, take great football players, take great basketball players, you take people who are, you know, outstanding in just about any field or endeavor. Usually they have somebody who has trained them and works with them in the midst of it. Why? Because we can't see everything ourselves. We need somebody that way. We really do. But when your desire is to get it right and you have somebody who will tell you the truth because they want you to be the absolute best you can be, and they want to teach you how to win in every circumstance, you love that person. You want that person in your camp. You want them as far from the enemy camp as possible because you want all of that coming down on you so that you can use it. And that's the attitude you kind of have to have. You got to have the attitude, I want to win. I want to prevail. I want to succeed. I don't care what it costs. And I am going to be glad to get the correction that I have need of, that I can cross that finish line completely victorious in every way. And he goes on, and we have to get down to 11, so let me read quickly. He said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I want to partake of his holiness. Absolutely, 100%, every bit of it. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, what we've been seeing, and I've had to preach some hard messages at times, but what we've been seeing is that as people have been receiving this and coming into agreement with it, the Lord has bringing us together as one. That's the object. That is the entire purpose of it. It is not because I'm out here trying to give people a bad day. It's not at all that. But it is the thing that I know what the Lord has for us. And I know he wants each and every one of us to get it. I know he does. And I'm going for that for all of you, for every single one of you. Even those who are listening out there, that is my object, period. End of story. And I know if we get it, you know what? You guys get it. There's going to be so many more who will get it. So many more, because you will have it. You will have a tenacity. You will have a patience running that race. You will have an experience. You will have a knowledge of him. You will be on fire for Jesus Christ. You will be a person that people will see and they're like, I want to be around that person. I want to go talk to that person. That person can help me. And that can be true of every single one of you. Every single one of you. It should be. It absolutely should be. And when that's happening, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a lot of people coming down the pike, whether it be here, where it be wherever you are, you're going to see it. And it's going to be a wonderful thing as we see that body grow out. And that's what's going to turn things around, folks. That is what it's going to take to turn things around. And that's where I'm headed. And that's where we as a body are headed. Amen. Play a few more songs and let's worship the Lord. All right. Well, thanks for joining us here tonight. We'll be back on Sunday at 11 Mountain Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. And again, next Wednesday at this time. Lord, we just close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for the way you have brought us together. And we thank you for that joy of yours that has begun to fill and inhabit our lives. And we pray, Lord, may that grow and abound yet more and more. And Lord, may you strengthen and fortify us in the faith, that we may go forward in manners that are pleasing to you and will be a blessing to one another and all that we come into contact with. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.